Lincoln asked me to sort of review the history of Corelia Sacsini, and I guess if we wrote a little short précis of it, be good intentions trying to control this really nasty weed, but unfortunately there was a serious mistake is made and release unintentionally unpermitted fly. But there is redemption. We get a very good outcome and something we should never ever depend on to save our mistakes. So fairly quickly, we can see there has been quite a few agents released on yellow star thistle. Yellow star thistle is a quite old project, started in the 50s when they sort of resolved issues with the beekeepers in California. The first agent, Euraphora jaculata, failed to establish. All the other agents appeared to be established. But in 1988, the releases of Corelia australis began. And in 1996, 8 years later, Baldo and I found that there's actually another fly out there that looks quite similar to the Corelia australis, the permitted agent. And after some checking through our records and stuff, we determined that it actually had been released in Merlin, Oregon in 1991. Both Sacsinia and australis have very similar life histories. The eggs are laid on the sides of the buds, three instars inside that feed on developing seeds. Overwinter as a late instar, and up to three generations a year. Now, the reason there that that one shipment actually had multiple species was that all the previous release had been done from australis that had been reared from Centaurea cyanus, bachelor bud, cornflower, depending what you want to call it. Those cyanus heads had been shipped from Greece, and the flies that emerged from that had been sent to the release points. But in 1991, they wanted to get some extra releases done that year, and cyanus was gone by that time in Greece, so they sent the yellow star heads. And it was from yellow star that two different species of Corelia emerged. They're pretty similar in appearance. What you want to look at is this extra spot on the side of the thorax. That is Sacsinia. That's one fast way to distinguish it from the permitted australis. Now, once we got a name for this, it was kind of oops. Sacsinia had been rejected as a possible agent by our overseas scientists because in their laboratory tests, it would oviposit on safflower. And safflower is a reasonably important crop in California. You know, it's not a major crop, but it's reasonably important. So California Department of Food and Agriculture issued a pest alert about Sacsinia being out there now. And we immediately started testing various varieties of safflower to see if any of these are acceptable. Now, under no choice conditions, we would get some oviposition on safflower, but under choice conditions, there was no oviposition. So, that's sort of equivocal results. You know, we're saying that, if they got yellow star there, and yellow star is acceptable, that they probably go on yellow star and safflower, but the worst case could happen out in the field. So we also grew trap plants of safflower, the five varieties we had, at three study sites, two in Oregon, near where the Sacsinia had first been released in 91, and plus in Napa County, California. The safflower in our trap plant studies was surrounded by yellow star thistle, and yellow star thistle had millions of Sacsinia by that time. We were able to get about 1,000 heads of safflower, the ones that the deer didn't eat. And we dissected these. Well, first we held them for emergence, and then after the flies had finished emerging, we also dissected them. And there was nothing no flies, no succinia in those heads. There was other insects that had moved in, some of them known pests of safflower, but no succinia. So that made us feel a little better that even in these kind of nasty situations where the safflower is surrounded by yellow star thistle, none of it had been attacked. But we also surveyed commercial fields throughout California. And first year we only looked at 5 fields, and then we added 43 fields in 98. At one of those fields, in 97, we found that 24 heads out of more than 3,000 actually had been attacked by succinia. So we went back to that same field in 98, and once again, there was very low level infestation. By 99, this had dropped, to almost very difficult to detect, and we just weren't going to dissect thousands of heads to find that one more fly. And of the 17,000 heads from the other 46 sites, this took a few years to get through all these heads, splitting them and see what's inside. There was nothing, So we concluded that, succinia isn't going to be a real problem to our safflower growers. So the next thing we worried about was, the other plants in the family cardioid. As been mentioned before, this is, yellow star thistle is an asteraceous plant, and it's in the family, the thistle family. And within the thistle family, it's in the subtribe Centaurinae over here. And here's our safflower. And the ones with the rest asterisks are the genera that have species in North America. Now, Sassaria has native species, a few native species. Onoportum is all introduced, exotic. Cerium is perhaps the most important, since there's probably over 100 native species of Cerium's in North America. So the next thing we did was to start looking at whether succinia would take our native species of Cerium's. In our laboratory test, we tested four natives plus some of the weedy cardioid. None of the Cerium's were attacked, but three Centaureas, these knapweeds, were attacked both under choice and no choice conditions. And those three were Centaurea americana, melitensis, and sulfurea. Now, melitensis and sulfurea are introduced weeds. Fairly low level attacks on both of these. Here's the number of heads. And americana, three out of 5 tests, there was attack under choice conditions even. So we started monitoring plants in the field to see if they'd validate our laboratory tests. 110 collections from 31 counties in California, Oregon, and 84 collections of 19 species of Cerium's, 36 collections of Centaurea species. No succinia in any of the Cerium's. So at least none of the native Cerium's or introduced Cerium's are going to be hosts. But we did confirm that both the melitensis and sulfurea were good field hosts. Melitensis especially was a much better field host than our laboratory test would have indicated. It was almost as good as yellow star thistle. And that concerned me because melitensis has a better distribution through the Southwest than yellow star thistle. Now, I mentioned that we have attack also on basket flower. Centaurea americana back in the old days, it looks like it's going to be called Plectocephalus americanus from now on. But this is what the one of the two native Centaureas. Now they're both going to be Plectocephalus. And they're attractive knapweeds. They're grown as a ornamental backyard plant. Americana occurs in this sort of nice string through the southwest and the prairie states here. Rothrockii is actually not quite as widely distributed as this map would look like. It's only in the southernmost counties, a few of the southernmost counties in New Mexico and Arizona. So it's a Mexican species that barely enters the United States. So we were unable to do field surveys of Succinia attacking Americana because Americana doesn't occur in California, and Succinia doesn't occur where Americana grows, at least not yet. So we set up last year trap plant studies in three sites in California. Let me just back up on that. One was almost in Oregon, up in Yreka. Yountville is in Napa County, a sort of coastal site, and then the Central Valley site at the CDFA facility in near Sacramento. So once again, you know, Americana, and then what we call now Americana's B, it was sold, the seeds were sold to us as Rothrockii, but after they flowered, we found out, no, they're not Rothrockii, they're actually just a different variety of Americanus. So we ended up with two varieties of Americanus instead of Americanus and Rothrockii. But both varieties were susceptible to attack. The attack was generally no higher than 10%. And that was at all three sites that happened. And one thing to note is the high level of attack, like this is from our Sacramento site, you know, over 80% of the star thistle heads are being attacked compared to the 10% attack on Americanus. Now pooling all the seed data across the three sites, we find that about there's maybe a 40% reduction of seeds in the heads that are attacked. Now only 10% of the heads at most are attacked, and if the head is attacked, it'll have 40% less seeds than if it hadn't been attacked. So what we have ended up now is that we've got a very widely distributed natural enemy. In a 2002 survey, only one site out of 421 did not have Succinia. So yellow star and Succinia are co-occur throughout California. It's nearly impossible to find yellow star without Succinia. It's also very damaging to yellow star thistle. We are all noting that yellow star thistle is kind of responding to this sustained attack by Succinia, and it's probably our best agent, you know, even though it's not a real agent. So, you know, Link asked me to say, sort of conclude with, you know, what we learned. Well, this best agent that we have out there for California, at least, was rejected, you know, back in the early 80s. You know, so that kind of makes me think, at least, you know, that we need to be more careful, perhaps, in rejecting agents. That if we reject our best agents early on and then just keep introducing, you know, poorer agents, that we may miss out. And of course, obviously, several agents can come in the same shipment, and you know, we need to be careful about that. During the release phase, you know, sort of the standard operating procedure of releasing, you know, insects reared from heads collected overseas, that's, you know, that's dangerous. And you know, this is a case study how what can happen, you know, so a second insect can get released. Also, you can release the parasitoids of your agent, diseases of your agent. So, you know, unless there's really a supreme reason that you need to do those releases with insects from overseas, you should at least go through one generation in the lab. And of course, human errors can occur. My predecessors were aware of Succinia's existence, and they were supposedly checking these shipments, but that one shipment, those flies did get through. Now, the other thing sort of concerned me is that very few of these weedy Centaurea species were tested to see if Keterellia australis accept them. You know, they knew, since Cyanus was the host they were collecting it from, that Cyanus was a good host, but they didn't test, Melitensis and these other ones. And, the usual excuse is, well, if they attack these other weeds, great, just bonus. But it doesn't give us a good prediction on what species will find them. And more importantly, since Melitensis can extend the geographical range of Succinia well beyond that of yellow star thistle, it can bring in contact now to Centaurea americana, which based on yellow star thistle's distribution would be less likely. So, this attack on Plectocephalus Centaurea americana is now more likely because Melitensis is a host. Well, during the post-release phase, something we learned was, if you screw up, let people know. Don't try to hide it. We did get complimented for, immediately notifying our cooperators, about this, error. And I guess, and personally, along with sort of my colleagues' rather, attack on Svachelata when she let him know about, these non-target impacts of Rhinocyhylus, it just made me think that, biocontrol needs some self-regulation. It needs some guidelines. There's thousands of people now involved, especially out west here where there's people at county levels making decisions what agents to release and what targets to choose and stuff like that. So, they're not under the control. When I started in biocontrol, there was like half a dozen of us. We all knew each other. We knew who would make a mistake and stuff like that. So now that's way too big. And so I guess the other good thing that came out is that there was an international code of best practices for biological control of weeds. Some of these guidelines would help prevent something like Succinia from occurring. So this code was ratified in 1999 by delegates to the 10th Symposium on Biological Control of Weeds. And it seems to be having some impacts on people, making them think of how they're doing the practice of biocontrol. So there are some of the things I learned by working on Succinia. Thank you. Well, exactly. I reserve the term agent for something that's gone through the tag approval process, APHIS approval process. A natural enemy, that there's a natural enemy and then there's agents. So there's many natural enemies. Some are adventive, some are native, but introduced agents, when I use the term agent, it means it's gone through the approval process.
But it's not like that.
We're unsure how broad the range of Succinia is. Our Greek cooperators were unaware that it occurred at their sites. So I've been unable to find the Tephritids that these guys collected there. I could find the Curculionids and stuff in their collections. I was trying to reconstruct that, where is it and what did they know? So another question? Dave Thompson has been sending me some Americana heads from New Mexico, and we've been trying to see if they've got Succinia in them, and they're remarkably clean from anything. Unlike our Circeums that we always sort of got native tephritids and stuff out of. So does that kind of answer your question?
Judy? So what are the interactions between the two blind species that the one that was initially introduced? Has their population gone down?
No, Ketorelia australis seems to be restricted almost to cyanus. That it's we do find it on yellow star thistle, but usually only if cyanus is present nearby. So its range, geographical range, is much more limited than succinia's, because cyanus tends to be a cooler weather, moister, you know, so it's kind of either higher elevations or more coastal. And you know, of course, yellow star thistle grows in the arid, you know, Central Valley and stuff. So it's still out there, and it looks like australis may be actually helping control cyanus, you know, but as an agent for yellow star thistle, it's next to worthless.